Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, hi, Mark.
That painful scream represents only one thing. Mark Grody is joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Mark Grody on the Bears sideline tomorrow for the second exhibition game in which the starters will play in 2019. Mark, welcome to the show.
What's happening, guys? I am right now at the Bearport. I just had myself a delicious ham and cheese Hudson News sandwich.
Oh, that's a quality
Hudson
item.
News. Nobody gets cheese ham and cheese sandwiches like Hudson News.
Made with love. You can always tell.
Yes.
Wrapped in plastic with love.
It is, and it's really the only place, Hudson News, where you can still buy a hardcover novel if you'd like. Because there they are.
Because there they are for your flying play, your reading flying pressure.
What time?
Right, magazines. It's great.
What time do you board the bear plane, Mark?
The bear plane boarding process will start at 12:30, so do not make me late.
We won't, but thank you for joining us on our bear waves here. So tomorrow is going to be... But Spiegel and I were trying to figure out what, if anything, we could learn tomorrow from a Bears team. The season ended 2 weeks ago, and then they soiled their pants last week. And Minnesota's got nothing to play for. They're the sixth seed. That's it. It's all over. And important guys are not going to play. That's why this really is an exhibition game where Matt Nagy is, I guess, kind of forced or wants to have his starters play. What do you think we could learn? What are you going to come out of this with?
Here's what I think. It's going to be a lot like the preseason, where maybe good things will happen, but we'll use that disclaimer that we used throughout the entire preseason. Well, I get it's preseason, but that was pretty good to see. And if you see, so you still want to see, the Bears still have a developing quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. So if you look at it as a preseason game, you still want to see four quarters of Mitchell Trubisky. You still want to see, what is Riley Ridley, the wide receiver, all about? Can he run the entire route tree? It'd be nice to see what that's all about. You still want to see development from somebody like Javon Wims, who has been given opportunities this year and has been good some of the time. And a lot of times, I think one of the things that Javon Wims still has to get used to or work on is using his body, that they have given him lots of chances to make plays, and he hasn't always come through. I'd like to see what an Alex Barrs looks like at guard or even as a tackle. I am looking forward to knowing what Kevin Tolliver looks like when he plays four quarters of a game, because it doesn't look like Prince Amukamara will be in there. And these are all things that you can watch, and then we could disclaim if they play well and say, well, Minnesota didn't play their starters, but Kevin Tolliver did have an interception.
Okay. That said,
is that good enough for you?
No. I understand what you're looking for, and I understand it is an exhibition game. And what if Matt Nagy runs more times tomorrow than he has in any single game all season? What then will you come out of that with, if anything?
I don't know. If that happened, I would say perhaps this is symbolic of what Matt Nagy has finally conceded that he needs to get right during the offseason. Mm. He's been talking about creating a run game since last year, when each and every week, even when they would win, after you got past all the good stuff, it came down to, okay, what the hell happened with the running game, though? Why was there only seven carries in this game? Or what was going on with Jordan Howard? I'm talking about last year. And then this year, is David Montgomery good? We don't even know if David Montgomery is good. So this year, one of the projects has to be a sincere, earnest, legitimate overhauling of the run game and not just talking about it, because I feel like Matt Nagy has talked about it a lot but not really done anything about it, called it a systemic thing and not blaming it on – he never really blamed it on Jordan Howard. He hasn't blamed it on David Montgomery. So now they have to figure it out. They have to figure out why they haven't been able to run the ball successfully, get the scheme right, get the offensive line right, get the running back right, get it all right, and do it for real. And I think it would be actually really somewhat refreshing if we saw the run game go to work tomorrow, because everybody has realized that you actually have to have that, even in this passing existence that we are in.
Yeah, you sure do. The Ravens and the Niners and a ton of other teams are showing you that you need that mindset. I just don't think philosophically he buys it. I just think philosophically he believes that you win by throwing it and that you don't even really need to show that you can run it or will run it. And I think he's wrong about that.
I think you're right. And every, like, again, I go back to last year, every week it was the same thing with that. And, you know, I think the one game that might have changed his mind on that occurred this year, and that was against the Saints, where they did have the 7 carries for 16 yards, and it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for everybody. It was after that game that they had the players-only meeting, and it was also after that game that you started to see Matt Nagy add a fullback, add an extra offensive lineman,
yep,
go with some I formation. And I think he obviously hasn't completely stuck with that, but I think that was the game that hit him upside the head and made him realize he can't just keep talking about it and satiate the people who want to hear, yes, we're going to get the running game going, we're going to get the running game going. He actually got the running game going, and I think he finally realized, even though he hates it, I agree with you, Matt, he doesn't like the running game.
He doesn't believe in it.
He doesn't. You're right, but I think he realized after that game that he realized that he has to believe in it, and he also realizes that he's got a quarterback on whom you cannot depend to completely run that system of offense, and that he's got to change some things, and the change has to involve having a running back or a running game, period. And I think he might have realized that after the Saints game.
That'd be nice. This segment is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Napa Auto Parts is having a huge blowout sale December 27th and 28th only. Save 25% store-wide. That's 25% off store-wide this Friday and Saturday at Napa. At participating locations while supplies last. Some exclusions apply. Go to NapaBigSale.com for more details. Mark, we're trying to figure something out. I heard Hub Arkish with you the other day as you guys were hosting, and Hub said that he thought Mitch Trubisky looked bad a few times in training camp and wrote it. I don't remember that, but I certainly believe Hub. What we were trying to figure out is, did they think that Mitch looked great in practices and OTAs and training camp, and then terrible in the games? Like, did they really believe that Mitch was going to show up against Green Bay and start killing it?
You know what? It's funny. Like, the offense in general did not look good, if you want to go all the way back to Bourbonnais. But the one thing that the talking point from the coaching staff, and I'll admit that I bought into it, was just the fact that the defense was so far ahead of, or the defense is so good and so elite, and that the defense had gone to the next step, and that it's easier. And it's true. It is easier to play defense in training camp because the full install is not in. And in offense, you're trying different things that you may not use during the regular season. So, I'll back up Hub on that. And a lot of people wrote that the offense simply didn't look good. But none of us thought that we were seeing any part of what was really going to happen. We all bought into the 200 level of Trubisky and of the offense in general, and they weren't showing the parts that we were supposed to see week one against Green Bay at Soldier Field on that night. So it felt like they had something up their sleeve, and what they had up their sleeve really just never came to pass this year. But that is true. That is true. The offense did struggle in Bourbonnais, but again, as we said at the very beginning, you always put disclaimers on anything you see in the preseason or in games where the lights are off.
Talking with Mark Grody here on The Score. He will be part of WBBM, our brother station, 780 AM and 105.9 FM. Broadcast of the Bears-Minnesota game, final game of the season for the Bears. That's tomorrow. Also tomorrow, come out to the Highline Bar and Lounge in River North for the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. Get ready for the Minnesota game with Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz. It runs from 9 a.m. until kickoff, followed by a two-hour postgame with Hub, Patrick, and James Big Cat Williams. brought to you by Screwball, the original and most awarded peanut butter whiskey. And then we're going to have 49ers at Seahawks for you after that. So there's the thing, and Speaks was talking about it before. He brought up Greg Roman, and you're looking at when you're going to see Russell Wilson and then Jimmy Garoppolo, and Greg Roman used to be the coach of Colin Kaepernick, and you wonder about the intractability of Matt Nagy, or maybe it's the naivete or being a young guy where BU on his call sheet is simply code for be stubborn. But 49ers and Seahawks with those two quarterbacks, and that's what you want to see when the Bears grow up. After what we heard about Mitch 2.0, and they were either lying to us or they're sadly mistaken. They didn't actually believe it. They were hoping to believe it. What have you seen this season as evidence that they could get to that point? They could be those franchises' offense for now.
The only evidence that I've seen is the three or four games where the game plan seemed drastically different from Matt Nagy, and the style of offense was drastically different. And I'll just use the Dallas game as an example of that, where you saw Mitchell Trubisky, when it seemed like he was almost told in that game or believed in that game that it's okay that if it's third down and six and you see green grass in front of you, go for it, man. Go ahead and run that football instead of buying time to get the ball to your playmaker, because that was the edict in the beginning of the season that you are Mitchell Trubisky, you're a throw-first quarterback, and that the reason we have Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Anthony Miller is because they're the playmakers and you are the one who is to get them the ball. It seemed like he finally bought into the idea that it's okay if you run a 23-yard play and get into the end zone, which looked delicious. It's okay if you take a chance on a play. Like there were some very specific throws in that game that I loved. There was one towards the south end zone that he made to Anthony Miller where he drilled it in between two defenders and he put some serious miles per hour on it. And then on the other side to Allen Robinson where he did allow Allen Robinson to make a play. Robinson took a big hit, but they got the ball down the field to the 23-yard line, and that was before the 23-yard touchdown run. So the game plan was completely catered, I thought, to Mitchell Trubisky's style of being able to get out of the pocket and to roll out and do things like that. Everybody uses the words dumb down the offense. You don't have to dumb down the offense. Just use a different offense. It doesn't have to be like as great as this offense is, the one that has been highly successful in Philadelphia and Kansas City. It doesn't necessarily have to work for everybody. And it seems like there's a big enough sample size now in 2 years that the full Matt Nagy game plan does not work for Mitchell Trubisky. And you got to put that guy in a position to win. And I still think that there's a lot of hope for it if Nagy can do that.
Who's not going to play for sure in terms of, you know, guys who are on the fence, not the injured, the fully injured, but are they going to sit a bunch of people tomorrow, Mark?
You know, that's a great question, man. It doesn't sound like what Matt Nagy has said on more than one occasion so far this week is he'll say on one side of his mouth, yeah, we're going to play. We're gonna act like this is a real game. We're gonna play everybody. You know, we're going for the win. But then he'll say, out of the other side, that you know, hey, if we see opportunities where maybe we can get somebody else some playing time, we're gonna go ahead and do that. And so that says to me that you're gonna see a lot of the starters in there for sure to begin the game. But then maybe you'll start to see some other guys get in and get opportunities to play. You know, I brought up the name Alex Barrs on the offensive line. I don't know at this point if Rashad Coward is going to play, but it'd be nice to see him get in and get some playing time. You know, Riley Ridley is another guy who we have seen play, but he's never really looked completely comfortable out there. It'd be nice just to see him maybe from the second quarter on just be out there on every single play that you would allow him to be, just to get some comfort going into the offseason. So I think that when Nat Nagy has kind of said in parentheses, we'll see, you know, where there are opportunities, we will use them. I think you're going to see a lot of that tomorrow, and why not?
Mark, you brought up the Dallas game and what you thought was the execution of a game plan. The game plan was catered for the players. It was tailored for the players and tailored against specifically against that opponent. And the fact that you went to that And it was so isolated and such an island game. Underscores my belief that Matt Nagy is just not a good coach yet. A good coach in my world coaches the game that's there, the players that are there, the situation that's there, the opponents that's there. And he seems to be coaching his playbook and the imagination of the way it should be. And I don't know if there's anything else that I've not seen growth in the head coach as a head coach to be able to adjust. When he says, be you, I come back to this is be stubborn. Have you seen anything where this guy has improved as a coach regarding game situations?
I think it's been this painful process for him personally. Like, he comes in with this playbook, you know, it's similar concepts to what Andy Reid was doing, but with his own obvious twist on it, and then elements of the spread offense as well. And he comes into this thing believing in it, completely sold on it, because he has seen it work, and he knows it works, and he knows that when it does work, it can dominate, and you can put serious points on the board. So I think it's been this conflict, this struggle that he has had in pulling himself away from it little by little. And I think he waited too long this season to start to change some of his concepts and to realize that he had to yank some of the chapters out of his playbook, and he had to add that fullback, and he had to add the extra offensive lineman. He had to use things like I formation and conservative style of offense and running game. And like I said earlier, after that Saints game, he just has started to realize and believe that maybe what he is doing with the personnel that he has currently is not going to work. So it's like, if you have something that you know works and that you believe in it, and it just doesn't, I think that's the struggle that he's had. And I think that's why I said, like, this offseason is incredibly important. Will he earnestly and honestly change the way he does business, or will he stick to what he has and what he thinks he knows is going to be really good with that offense?
Okay. Well, Mark, we're going to let you get on that Bear plane now that you're at the Bearport. We thank you for talking to us at the Bear plane at the Bearport. We hope you get all the Bear miles you're due to get for this flight. And
I'm looking forward to getting my bag of 7 pretzels once I get on the plane. And
the little hard pretzels. Bag. I thought maybe you were going over to Auntie Anne's and getting yourself.
No, that'd be 7.
Oh,
and
man.
A lot of mustard. Hey, mustard and cheese.
Caramel. Caramel.
Caramel?
Yeah. They'll give you caramel.
And but with pretzels?
With pretzels, you can dip your salted pretzel in the caramel.
Think about it. Cheese and life mustard
hack.
Guy. Hey!
Life hack.
All right. So that's it. We should have an airport food draft. Shouldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Hudson News sandwiches. They're
you can't
a first
beat
rounder.
Hudson News.
All right.
Hudson News and book.
For your audio pleasure or displeasure or reasons to sleep in, Mark Rohde, one of the co-founders of the Wake and Bake Club, and me, we'll be broadcasting beginning at 7 a.m. on New Year's Day. We will be together again for the first time, 7 a.m. to noon on January 1st. What's significant about that? Mark, why don't you share with the class what's significant about the reunion of the Wake and Bake Club?
Well, I will say this, that is the first day of legalization of said Wake and Bake.
Yeah, recreational pot in Illinois.
Right, is legal. And here's the thing, I was thinking about this, that the Wake and Bake Club never, ever would have started in the era of legalization and legal recreational pot, because the whole reason that started was because we did a weird, wacky story about how like a million pounds of pot was discovered and people were busted, and I said that the city of Chicago is out of pot. There is no marijuana. And this is a Saturday, mind you, and we had all these people calling us going, what was that Brody guy talking about? What do you mean there's no more pot? Right.
Smoke weed every day.
So now there is going to be more pot than ever, and you can get it. And so the Wake and Bake Club never would have existed if this day had come to pass in, 5 years ago.
So fittingly, we'll be on the air, and I guarantee you we will be reporting stories that stores have already run out of their pot.
That could happen too.
That's what happens the first day. All right, Mark, safe travel. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Mark Rohde. You hear him every day on The Score, talking about the Bears, reporting on the Bears. You'll hear him on WBBM tomorrow, working the sidelines of the Bears' useless game against Minnesota. We'll take a break. 12:40, we'll talk to Patrick Finley. A little more Bears from the Sun-Times on their useless game, but we keep acting like maybe we'll find something interesting. And I do have some – you have something. You have something.
Yeah, a primer for new eyes. I would like to offer a primer for some new eyes as you scout for futures tonight, because you will find yourself watching. So let's go ahead and help you scout for futures.
Oh, so you've regained your passion for that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The passion's there. It's always there.
Okay.
Accessible.
I just wasn't sure. All right. And a former Cub, erstwhile Cub, a Cub in limbo, is doing something really cool today that I think we can all relate to. It's going on right now. I think we'll, I'll share that with you.
Nice.
He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We understand that we have a lot of talented players, and we know what our big-time goal is, but we've learned a lot too this year, just how to go about doing things. And so we all have different timelines on where we're at, and Khalil has his own, and he's been in this thing, but we know that we want to get to this thing as soon as we can.
That's interim Bears coach Matt Nagy. Be coaching an exhibition game, set Bears second exhibition game in the last 2 weeks. Play Minnesota tomorrow, and they'll have to add to their team. And you were talking about the game the whole family can play, adding to the Bears team, who to watch for, who to eventually to arm yourself to play, who's your guy on The Score.
Exactly. College football playoffs are tonight. Am I the only one? Did they sneak up on anybody else?
Me.
They sneak up on you?
Right.
We are on a Saturday between Christmas and New Year's, and college football used to own New Year's Day, and now it still kind of does, though the NHL with a Winter Classic has interceded a little bit.
You have like 80,000 people in Dallas at that.
Yeah.
At the Cotton Bowl, I believe.
For the Winter Classic?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Nashville and the Preds and Stars.
But these might be the best two games that the college football playoffs have ever set up for us. Some people are talking about it like that. Hyperbole. Bill Walton has a lot to say about this. These are the four best quarterbacks ever to appear in the college football playoffs. So no, there's a lot to see tonight, and obviously the quarterbacks are interesting. You're not going to get yourself Joe Burrow, but Jalen Hurts. Check out Jalen Hurts and think if you believe on the transfer from Alabama to Oklahoma, because he might fall to you, or you could trade up and do something for Jalen Hurts, conceivably. And there's a bunch of really good players, especially in Clemson and Ohio State. Whether it is, obviously you're not going to get Chase Young, but Jeffrey Okuda, the corner from Ohio State, and so many defensive linemen on Clemson. There's a lot of guys to watch, a lot of different people to check out.
So I would think, man, if you're the quarterback, you can't get away from him. But if you're a Bears fan, the first thing you should be watching, I think, is the offensive line.
Find yourself some beasts.
Offensive more than defensive. Offensive line, because you, as we talked about before, you mm-hmm. need, that needs to be stout. That needs to be, the coach needs to commit to having an offensive line that can run, right? Isn't that where you're headed?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be the first order of business? That's what you should scout. It's a good way to watch a game anyway. Start on the line, where the line of scrimmage is. Start there. Eventually, the ball or the lineman will take you to where the play's going.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, check for pancakes. See who's – that's a really good way. Count those. Let's play the pancake game. So
I'm in.
That's what I would do.
Pancakes are delicious.
Yes, they are. Not waffles. And I'd mentioned this before we get to Patrick Finley. We're going to try to – he's apparently heading to the Bearport as well. I guess he's going to meet Mark Rohde there. But former club is doing something we can all relate to. You expect to see ball players doing something for charities, raising money, things like that. Today, going on now in Falmouth, Massachusetts. Were you far from Falmouth?
No, in college it was in Boston. So now Falmouth, pretty far.
Okay. Steve Cishek is holding the Steve Cishek Classic. And this is the fourth year he has done that. It is a wiffle ball tournament. It is a wiffle ball tournament that benefits Falmouth Youth Baseball that helped him get to where he is.
That's awesome. Falmouth, by the way, is on Cape Cod. It's down there.
Down
the Cape. Well, beautiful part of the world.
They're going to get bad weather, but the good thing about wiffle ball is you could play it inside.
Sure could.
They are. They're playing in the field house of the high school where he was a star basketball player. I did not know this about him. I knew he was a rangy kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's four or five players, all of whom must be 18 years or older, and they're playing wiffle ball, and the money goes to renovating the youth baseball fields, Falmouth youth baseball fields, providing new equipment for the kids, the players, as well as providing financial support for the families in need.
That's awesome.
And there will be a home run derby, a wiffle ball home run derby as we speak. It's going on, and the silent auction that these places usually have will have, and I didn't notice this, but the Cubs played in the Williamsport game, right, the Hall of Fame game, right?
Yeah, that Little League Classic.
He had Falmouth Youth Baseball inspired cleats that he's putting up for auction.
That's awesome.
So they were designed that way. And there's the Cubs have the special Memorial Day jerseys, right? All the teams wore Memorial Day when they played.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, when I read wiffle ball, I want to know about it, and I think it's great, and I want to know. And I thought, this is great. I love this guy. He doesn't have a team. He was used up and abused by the Cubs, arguably. Yeah. But Steve Cishek Classic is going on as we speak.
That's awesome. The Cape is an amazing place. I was there for the first time in a long time, a couple summers ago, to see my nephew was a broadcaster in the Cape Cod League. So to see the Cape Cod Baseball League was amazing to see. Where Kyle Farnsworth played, where Kyle Schwarber played, and a million other guys, Ian Happ and Brandon Morrow and all these people. And there are these tiny little high school ballparks that house these incredible college prospects every year.
My experience with the Cape League is Drew Barrymore's Never Been Kissed.
There you go.
That's it.
Not Never Been Kissed. Summer Catch?
Summer Catch. Oh, is that it?
Yeah, so wait. Has never been kissed, the Cape League?
She keeps hanging out of baseball fields, is all right. Whatever it is.
Maybe it is.
Maybe a summer catch.
Summer Catch is the one with Freddie Prinze Jr. That's the Cape League.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a beautiful part of the world. My buddy Andy used to have a little gift shop there called the Caped Cod. And the logo was a fish.
With a cape on it?
Of course.
Oh, sure, superhero.
Of course. How do you not?
Because everyone dreams of coming back as a cod as a superhero. So he did.
Uh-huh.
All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times talking more Bears. See if he can find something useful coming out of tomorrow's game. Spiegel, Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Do you anticipate the tone of your conversations in the offseason when you try to figure out what went wrong? Any different than they were last year?
Well, they're naturally going to be different just because of the scenario of where we're at. I mean, it's a lot easier last year going what we went through and then ended up, making it to the playoffs, winning the division. You understand that we felt like we set the foundation last year, so those conversations are easier. And then when you go into a year like this and you have all those expectations and those intentions and you don't reach them, you're going to have tougher conversations. But that's where I think I go back to the relationship of honesty, putting egos aside and doing what's best. And I don't foresee it being any tougher between us.
Well, that's interim Bears coach Matt Nagy. He's talking, answering a question from our next guest about conversations last year. And that's where we did it differently. Well, I think he did it wrong last year. Based on what we saw this year. We welcome joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. From the Chicago Sun-Times, talking Bears, is Patrick Finley as he tries to get to the Bearport to catch his Bear plane for what seems to be a useless Bears game. Patrick, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time today. What, if anything, what would be the best things you could legitimately learn tomorrow?
I think anything good would probably be a false positive, and anything bad might just confirm what we already know. I don't know. Mitch Trubisky finishing the season on somewhat of a high note wouldn't be bad necessarily. I'm not sure how much credit we should give him if he does do it, but watching him go out there and at least give him something optimistic to cling to in the off season. That's about as good as I can do right now in terms of what we might actually learn tomorrow. I mean, short of the obvious, which is as long as nobody hurts an Achilles or something. I mean, injuries still might have the greatest effect on their offseason plans coming out of that game.
Do you have any sense for how much Matt Nagy is going to build this offense around Mitch tomorrow? Like that relationship and how much he has schemed for this particular quarterback seems to have waffled and waxed and waned all year long. Where are we at this moment, Patrick?
I think the relationship is good. I think that the two of them are on the same page and have been on the same page most of the year. I mean, with the exception of maybe Mitch's throwaway line a couple weeks ago about wanting to move the pocket a little more. I'm not worried about the relationship. Is he going to try and have Mitch throw 50 times tomorrow to try to prove some sort of point? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, this is a guy who, given his brothers, would probably throw on every down in it.
What if he runs on every down?
I'd sit there and go, who took away play calling responsibility from Matt Nagy? That's what I'd say.
While we have you here, it's posted by Jason Lockenfor on CBS Sports that Pat Fitzgerald turned down an invitation to interview with the Panthers, Ron Rivera's former job. And Lockenfor wrote in there a speculation that if while being pursued often by NFL teams, Pat Fitzgerald wouldn't leave for any job except the Bears. So I just thought we'd throw that out. That's what happens when you have a year like this. And you wrote about this week, probably presuming the head coach is going to come back, he'll get another shot. But what about the assistants? What about the rest of the coaches? So you wrote about it. Share with the class, and what do you think? How do you play this out?
I think that the entire defensive staff is coming back. Unless they get promotions elsewhere or something like that. Nagy spoke this week as though, hey, while I'm fixing the offense this offseason, the defensive staff is going to be doing X, Y, and Z. So I think they're safe. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears parted with a couple of offensive assistants, maybe even offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich. We can debate what that means, though, because Nagy calls the plays. And if you're going to fire a position coach or two, just to kind of say that you're doing something different, you know, I don't know whether that qualifies as real change, but I just can't believe that they're going to go into this offseason and not change anything. This is an offense that is second worst in the league in yards per play and second worst in the league in points per game. You can't sit there and not make somebody a sacrificial lamb. Is it dumb? Yeah, probably. but you know, they need to do something just to say that they did. From a coaching standpoint, you know, personnel-wise, there are going to be a lot of changes. You know, they need help at tight end. They need help on the offensive line. And they need to bring in somebody to, at the very least, challenge Mr. Trubisky. You know, when they played the Eagles and had 9 yards in the first half and Mr. Trubisky took the field for the second half, that told you all you needed to know about what the team thought about Chase Daniel. And that just cannot happen again next year, at the very least.
You know, Patrick, it's so funny. Like when Nagy was hired, I remember thinking, well, this is great. You got the play caller as the head coach, the offensive designer as the head coach. So when other offensive assistants get hired away, then this guy is still here. And now we're talking about, yeah, but this guy's still here. who believes in running the ball the most out of that brain trust?
You Harry know, Easton.
But yeah, maybe. Brad Childress, Helfrich, Pace. Does anybody believe it?
Might be Trubisky. Trubisky, out of all those guys, might be the one who appreciates actually being able to hand the ball off and take a little bit of pressure off of him. Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a question, too, when you talk about, you know, these position coaches. Harry Easton is about as respected as any offensive line coach on the planet. But you look at the offensive line and what they've done this season, it's just very, very bad, almost out of the gate. You know, do you make a change there? I don't think Nagy's ever going to line up, you know, and run the ball 40 times a game. But even he knows there needs to be balance. Then again, guys, I mean, we've been covering him for, 31 regular season games now? I would guess that 28 of those weeks, one of us has asked, why in the world aren't you running more? And it really hasn't changed.
Does that rotate? Do you guys have a schedule for that? Do you guys have the reporters and Hallis Hall poll numbers? How does that go? That who gets to ask the why aren't you running question?
Hub leads the way usually. It's one of Hub's favorite topics. Yeah, we all take turns in some version of why didn't you run it more? What do you need to do to become more comfortable with your run game? All different variations that we've explored in the last 2 years.
So Jordan Reed, senior NFL draft analyst for Draft Network LLC, he tweeted out, getting socks on Christmas is the equivalent of drafting an offensive lineman in the first round, not flashy or exciting, but you know if they do their job, you'll appreciate them at some point later on. Jeff Schwartz, a former offensive lineman, host of the Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You podcast, I love that name, he retweeted that with this, nah, linemen aren't socks, we are underwear. We are the layer that protects the most near and dear object to all, which is very well done. I think the Bears need underwear. So where do you think that ranks in what people are should be watching on college football games this week and next?
I know people who rank offensive line ahead of Mitch Trubisky and what the Bears have to say. I would not go that far.
Okay.
To figure out the quarterback. But I think it's right up there. And what's really interesting is, you know, last offseason they gave extensions to Cody Whitehair and to Bobby Massey. You know, Charles Leno is working on an extension that's 2 years old. There's not a lot to do there unless you want to eat some money. I mean, you can bring in a right guard to, who's presumably a veteran to take over for Rashad Coward, who until the season defensive lineman. I think that makes sense. But, you know, beyond that, getting off of that money is going to be difficult. And, you know, because of that, that's why you have to wonder in some of these cases, do they look at a position coach as, you know, we got to change something? And in some cases, you know, this is cross sports. I mean, changing some of the coaches is easier than changing the players.
Patrick, would you agree that the easiest path to the playoffs next year for Nagy and Pace is to tweak the offense and make it manageable for Mitch, no matter how simple that is? And try to get your defense to replicate what they are this year. That is the easiest path to the playoffs.
I think you phrased that question well, and you phrased that question intentionally, probably.
Well,
I think that's probably true. I mean, because of Mitch's contract next year.
Right.
We can still, for one more year, afford to build a really good, really expensive roster around him. Is that going to win you a Super Bowl? I don't think so, at least, you know, unless we see Mitch really step up in a way that he hasn't in the last 3 years. But, you know, is it good enough to be pretty good? Yeah. then what's your plan after that?
Yeah, that's the big question. Yeah, that is the question. All right, so maybe you could piece it together for a year. But then here's the other question. If I'm Ryan Pace, is my job security more in danger if I stick with Mitch or if I let Mitch go? If I'm Ryan Pace, if I cut bait right now and say I was wrong, do I have more job security? Or if I go another year with Mitch and tweak it and make it work somehow a little bit?
Well, let's look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, they parted with Blake Bortles, justifiably so. I don't think there's anybody on the planet who thought that they'd be better off for keeping him. But they went out and replaced him with Nick Foles, and Nick Foles was so expensive and so bad and got them in such a hole that more or less everybody's getting fired this year. That's a scenario which, if Ryan Pace were to bring in Marcus Mariota and make him the starter over Mitch, if that doesn't go well, they could get him fired. That said, the GM job, if you want to go down that road, the GM job is so much more interesting next year. If they are so bad that he gets fired, they're going to have a top 8, top 10 draft pick at the worst. That is attractive. What they've got now is not attractive and they're not going to replace Ryan Pace this offseason. But I think there's a path to getting fired both ways, probably. And that's a depressing answer, but I think it's the truth.
Well, guess what? After he blew the decision on Cutler, blew the decision on Glennon, and blew the draft choice and the decision on Trubisky, that's a hat trick. 3 strikes and you're out. He can't be allowed to choose the next Bears quarterback. So,
and I hear that a lot from people, and I can't argue, the counterfactual there. But it's kind of the equivalent of a politician being a one issue guy. If you want to fire him on that issue, and it's the most important issue in sports, I'll give you that. That's a great argument. But I don't think you can look at the roster the Bears have, from the 22 to the 53, and say that the general manager hasn't been doing his job. Because I think he has. The problem is, if you don't fix the quarterback, ultimately it doesn't matter. A bad quarterback can undo so much of the good you do with the other 21.
Right, and you look at that defense as great as it's been for the last 2 years, and especially this year, and you got a quarterback that undid it. The Mitch Trubisky is more important than Khalil Mack, and Mitch Trubisky is more important than a good Bears defense. That's where you are with whatever credit you give Ryan Pace. He missed on he swung and missed and whiffed on the biggest decision he had to make. So,
I look back to when I believe after they beat the Giants, Trubisky stood at the podium and said that 19 points wasn't good enough. If the Bears had scored 19 points in every game they played, I think they'd have, 9 or 10 wins, something like that. So we're not asking, and the Bears aren't asking Trubisky to turn into Joe Montana. They're just asking him to be just competent. Mm-hmm. And I think you've only seen that in maybe 4 or 5 games already.
It just turned into Joe Flacco. All right, Patrick, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you joining us. Safe travel.
Hey, this is far more interesting than sitting at the airport, let me tell you.
There you go. All right. Well, good luck at the Bearport. We appreciate you joining your time today.
That's a low bar for us, but we'll take it.
That's right.
This hour, the score is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit the new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. And the bottom of the hour, way back when, was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves host the Admirals at 3 p.m. tomorrow in the final home game of 2019. It's a Little Debbie Sunday, which means the first 1,000 kids receive a Dave and Buster's gameplay card at the door. That Jacksonville Jaguars comp is a scary one.
Yes, it is. Hello.
Doug Marrone just informed him apparently today that he will be getting the axe after the final game tomorrow. So Doug Marrone is gone. Tom Coughlin was kicked away, right? And that thing didn't work. And that defense that was so good when they were so close with Blake Trubisky as their quarterback. That defense has slowly fallen apart and traded guys off and gotten less effective, and egos have exploded it, and the Jaguars suck. Scary comp.
Yes, and looks very familiar. Somehow we can all wear that.
Hell is coming to breakfast.
All right. So it was a legendary White Sox player had a birthday. I want to talk about that. And there's a Cubs TV network coming up. We'll talk some baseball next hour and potential Cubs trade that I don't know how they make it. And and yet it's still a something they seem to want to make. And we've discussed that before, but until something happens, we have to keep discussing it. Rosenblum and Spiegel, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh.